Wat een prachtige dag, de laatste zondag in augustus. En iedereen van harte welkom bij deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Wereldwijd bekeken door tientallen miljoenen mensen. En je bent verbonden door de woorden die in de christelijke titel gesproken worden. Woorden van bemoediging en troost. En de liederen die gezongen worden. Daar ga ik het zo meteen over hebben. Want dominee Schuller spreekt over de seizoenen in je leven. Soms is het winter, soms is het lente. En na de winter, als de lente komt, hoor je de vogels zingen. Zo kan het ook in je leven zijn, ook in je geestelijk leven. En Derek Steele praat over het feit dat hij op zijn 8e al drugs en alcohol verslaafd was. Nu is hij een succesvol zakenman. En waar die wending vandaan komt, vertelt hij in de Crystal Cathedral. Veel muziek van het Vanguard University Choir. En hier als gast, de dirigent van het Crystal Cathedral Choir, Don Newman. Don, good morning.
Good morning, Jan.
Welcome on a beautiful, sunny Californian
day.
It's
great to be in the Netherlands.
Yes, and we're going to talk about hymns and singing.
Sure.
And?
Everything you want to talk about.
Okay, well, that's promising. Wij gaan over heel veel praten met Don Newman, de begeestende dirigent van het koor. Maar eerst gaan we naar de Crystal Cathedral.
Join us today for the best hour on television, the Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral.
That God has made. We are rejoicing. We are glad in it. So, Father, what do we say? Thank you.
Yeah.
Again, thank you. And again, thank you for all the blessings you have bestowed upon us. We've experienced miracles this past week, but most of us never recognized them. We thought it just happened. So we're here to make up and express our gratitude overdue. Hallelujah. Amen. From Psalm 63, a prayer of David. hear this prayer as he lifts his praise to his Lord, our helper. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. This is the word of the Lord.
First drink at age 8. Addicted to pot at age 10. Addicted to meth and coke by 16. Homeless felon at 20. Take a look at this trailer, please.
Do you know what an addict looks like? When most kids were learning to ride their bikes, I was learning how to get drunk. At 8, it was my first taste of tequila. At 10, it was my first joint. At 13, my first hit of acid. At 14, the first time I tried coke. At 15, well, what's there to remember? I don't have a single photograph for the rest of my teenage years. My memories aren't typical. I traded school dances for juvenile detention, football games for armed robbery. Instead of making friends, I spent every waking moment trying to figure out how to get high or drunk, just to fill the void. Imagine losing 25% of your body weight in 2 months, Imagine taking Benadryl to stop the allergic reaction to the coke in your system. Imagine spending 2 days alone in a dark apartment, smoking crack, reopening the blisters on your already burned lips and hands, unable to put the pipe down. Imagine the hopelessness of knowing within a year you'd be in jail or dead. The nightmare ended on March 17, 1993. By the grace of God, I checked into a treatment center and committed to changing my life. Within a year, I was sober and a partner in a successful construction company. In 1997, I co-founded a software company that would go on to gross over $5 million a year. By 1999, I was married to my wife, Becky, and started my family. I continued to find success, and by the age of 35, I'd become a multimillionaire. More importantly, I stayed sober and became a loving husband and father. Addict to 10 isn't just a gritty tell-all. For me, it's the final step in treatment, an attempt to help others. It's a story of second chances and third chances and as many as it takes to get it right.
Welcome with me, Derek Steele. Derek.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
This, your story, the thing I loved about it, and the book you need to know, Derek Steele is his name, and the book is Addict at 10. If you feel like you're going to give up on yourself, give up on a dream, if you have a relative, a family member who is addicted to anything, any kind of substance, if you yourself are struggling with substance abuse, there is hope for you today. And I'm so thrilled that Derek's going to share your story because you give people hope, Derek.
And that's really what the book is about. It's about the fact that God has done so many wonderful things for me, and I feel like it's my duty and my calling to share that there is hope. A lot of times all you see is a lot of the sad stories and negative outcomes, but there's millions of people that have beat this, and so I'm hoping to inspire and educate through the book.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit, you know, just in a nutshell, what happened to you as a child that you were exposed and involved, drawn into this abuse?
Well, there was a lot of alcohol abuse in my home. And as a very small child, I was very insecure and very lonely. And so I saw the adults drinking, and I thought maybe that would be a way that I could be noticed or be a part of the group. I mean, I had no idea at that age that I was going to get drunk. So I was sipping on the margaritas and sneaking sips, thinking that that would include me. And so that's how it all began. And then from there, just continued on. And really, within our family, there was a lot of sickness with drugs and alcohol. So it's a family issue. It really is.
Yeah, that's what I got from the book. And some of the things that just really stunned me were when at school, you know, did the teachers not see? Did nobody seem to come to your rescue? And the thing that also stunned me was, I think you were, how old were you when your dad, you know, paid for your rent in an apartment and you were literally on your own? You weren't on the streets, but you were on your own.
Yeah, I got kicked out of the house at 16, and he paid for an apartment for me to live in and told me if I stayed in school. And he moved to North Carolina. I was in Dallas.
Wow.
So I was 16, and I mean, I thought it was the greatest thing ever.
Of course.
I could really do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
And it was very deadly for me, and I ended up dropping out of school and getting in trouble and going to jail and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So.
Describe that turning point for you, that lowest point.
Well, on March 14th, 1993 is when I had my moment of clarity, or as we say it in the church, my conviction, moment of conviction. At that point, I had been homeless for a few months, living in a car that wasn't mine. I had a hefty bag with all my worldly possessions in it. I was a felon, a dropout, and I was going to be going to Texas Department of Corrections for a 10-year sentence if they caught me.
Wow.
And so I was running.
Wow.
And for the first time, I just saw the truth and the reality about what I was. I had lived in denial and rationalization for a long time, and so God gave me the gift of seeing who and what I was and the fact that I was going to be dead or in jail at any moment.
Yeah.
And so I saw that truth, and it just broke my heart. I mean, when I was a little kid, I didn't dream of being what I'd become.
Right.
And so I had no idea what to do. And I walked out of the place that I was in, and I ended up in treatment 3 days later. And it was a state-run facility because I had no money, no insurance, mm-hmm, and they mm-hmm. took me in. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I gave my life to Christ, and a lot of hard work, a lot of hard work from there.
Yes, and you talk a lot in the book about the 12-step program.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. And working those steps,
mm-hmm.
and mentors, sponsors, you call them, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. in the 12-step program. What are the first three steps?
First three steps is admitted we are powerless over alcohol and that our lives are becoming manageable.
Right.
Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves, God, could restore us to sanity, and then made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God.
And you said that one was hard for you to do.
It was, because when I got sober, I was an agnostic. I didn't believe mm-hmm. in God. I wasn't mm-hmm. raised in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know anything about it. And out of pure desperation and being so broken, I just said, I'll try anything.
Wow.
And really didn't believe truthfully.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it was kind of a fake it till you make it. Well, about a year later, and
yeah.
I'll tell a quick story. I had a year sober. My life had completely changed. I was mentoring other men. I was a completely different person.
Hmm.
I didn't have any obsession to use, and I still didn't see it. And so I was laying in bed asking God to prove himself to me. And I was asking him to turn on the lights.
This
it's kind of goofy,
this is a
but
great
I did
story.
It.
I'm glad you're telling it.
And
but,
so
yeah.
I said, God, please, please, just turn on the lights and prove you exist. And of course, the lights didn't come on.
Right.
And I said, one more time. And this is it. If you don't do it, I'm done with you.
Hmm.
And so I laid there. Lights didn't come on. And I was frustrated. I got up out of bed and I walked past the mirror.
Yeah.
And now I could look myself in the eyes and I saw it. And that God voice just came up and said, you're it. You're the burning bush. Look at what I've done in your life. And so for me, that really is the day that I became a Christian through and through.
Yeah.
And it took a
year.
I mean,
yeah.
I may have been faking it, but he wasn't.
That's right.
And that's what the book is about, is to share that hope
yeah.
and to educate people, because there's a lot of misunderstanding with
yeah.
the family members,
yeah.
with the addicts themselves about addiction and how to recover.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of good information out there in the mass
mm-hmm.
media.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope that this really brings to light the spiritual needs and the fact that it's a spiritual sickness at the core of all this.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
my truth.
Yeah. I want Derek to lead us through the prayer, the submission prayer. It's part of the 12-step program. And we are all going to repeat it after him. And if you're watching at home, I challenge you, do not be lost a second more. Repeat this prayer after us.
This is the third-step prayer.
Yes.
God, I offer myself to thee.
God, I offer myself to thee.
To build with me and do with me as thou wilt.
To build with me and do with me as thou wilt.
Relieve me of the bondage of self.
Relieve me of the bondage of self.
So that I may better do thy will.
So I may better do thy will.
Take away my difficulties.
Take away my difficulties.
So that victory over them.
So that victory over them.
May bear witness to those.
May bear witness to those.
That I may help.
That I may help.
Of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life.
Of thy power, and thy love, and thy way of life.
May I do thy will always.
May I do thy will always.
Amen.
Amen.
I got it right that
you
time.
You did great. Thank you, Derek. And you're going to be autographing?
Yes.
You'll be autographing, so come see Derek.
Thank you.
Very
much.
God
I appreciate
bless
it.
You.
Thank you.
God bless you. So now we have the Women of Faith worship team with us today. This is a special treat. And what are you guys singing for us this morning?
We're going to be singing a new arrangement of the hymn, Come Thou Fount. And it's actually on our new 2010 Women of Faith worship CD that is coming out next week.
Well, thank you. Bless us now.
Thank you.
Every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some that mode a sonnet sung by above. time fixed upon it, mount up thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood.
En zo klonk in de Crystal Cathedral, Come the Fount of Every Blessing, gezongen door Women of Faith. Maar als we over muziek praten in de Crystal Cathedral en over zingen, dan is er één naam onlosmakelijk aan verbonden. En dat is de naam van dirigent Don Newman. Een autoriteit in Amerika op het gebied van muziek en zeker van de gewijde muziek. En Don Newman is vanmorgen onze gast. Don, good morning.
Good morning, Jan.
How is Holland?
Holland is wonderful. Het is mooi.
Ja?
Ja, ja. It's wonderful. My wife Sue and I, we love to come to Holland.
Why?
Well, I think a major difference between the United States and Holland is that the Dutch people appreciate beauty. The beauty of one song, the beauty of one flower, the beauty of one smile on one child. Beauty is important in Holland. In America, everything's fast food, fast pace, fast cars, loud movies. Everything's too fast and too loud to come down to the soul and see and feel beauty. And here we feel beauty.
Great. And that is what you try to accomplish also in the Crystal Cathedral with the Crystal Cathedral Choir.
That's right. That's right. We try to sing. You know, people can sing, even loud or soft or exciting or tranquil, but to sing like a professional singer who has a heart, a real heart. Like I say so many times, at the cathedral we sing for the world, but our heart is for the Dutch.
Right.
And that's a feeling because we've been here. The choir has, you helped us to tour here. And our singers learned to love the Dutch and the beauty I was talking about. So when I talk to the choir about beauty of singing, if they're singing the word Jesus, you don't sing Jesus. You caress G and you come for Zus. Jesus. Then you feel you have somebody sitting as close as we are sitting, and you're really trying to bring Jesus to that person. And so with the cathedral choir, we try to find the best singers we can find. But as the conductor, I have to know their potential on beauty.
There are many memorable moments for the Crystal Cathedral Choir highlights. But what is for you the absolute highlight for you as a conductor of the choir?
I've been there 10 years. And musically, the greatest 10 years of my life. So it's hard to find one moment.
Yeah.
But I do know one. When Mikhail Gorbachev came to celebrate 10 years of the Crystal Cathedral on Channel 1 in Moscow, which was, as you know, unheard of to have that happen. He came with his daughter to our service to celebrate the 10th anniversary. So we sang a Russian song for him in Russian, Let Thy Holy Spirit, by Pavel Chesnikov, the greatest writer of Russian anthems. And we sang in Russian, and we worked very hard to sing like the Russians sing. Not the English or the American or the Dutch, but like the Russians sing. And we have to have our men even sit like this, even look like this. You have to become Russian if you sing Russian. And so I said, Gorbachev, we sing this for our Russian brothers and sisters at home.
Shall we go to that very moment in the Crystal Cathedral?
Oh, yes.
Yes?
Please, yes.
So I want our viewers to join
yes,
with us.
Yes, because then when we sang it,
he had one tear
come down his cheek as we were singing for him Chesnikov's Russian song.
That's...
So we can see.
You love the choir loves you, but there's one particular person that you love above each and anybody.
That's my wife, Sue.
And she's here. Sue, would you please come in? And good morning to
good
you
morning,
as well.
Good morning, good morning. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Oh my goodness. Ja, u moet weten, ze logeren hier bij me thuis, dus ik zie ze heel vaak samen zo... Verliefd zijn, dat echt indrukwekkend is. Okay, you're still in love with one another and enjoying.
Oh,
just
yes,
shared
day.
With the viewers that you're guests here at my home and that I see you totally in love.
Yes, we walk through the garden holding hands.
Yes.
Hand in hand through Europe and the Netherlands.
Yeah. So, you are a world leader in teaching people about science and especially nanotechnology. Before we talk about singing in the cathedral, nanotechnology, you told me so much about it. It's so fascinating. What is it?
Well, nanotechnology is the new frontier for science. And we went out into space, and now we're going to the very, very small. And nanotechnology, you can't see. You know, you have to have electron microscopes, so it's the unknown. And what my major mission is, and you know, a nano is 1/100,000th of a hair, very, very small. And so you can't see it, and it's being used in so many products everywhere. And I think it's very important for industries to educate the public as to what this is. Just like nuclear energy, you have to understand in order to accept. And so that's what I do. I really am in for the public awareness of and the education of nanotechnology.
So I remember years ago you showed me in Los Angeles the first probably nanotechnology shirt. And it's amazing om de kijkers uit te leggen wat er gebeurt. Je hebt dat shirt aan. Het is zo'n verfijnde technologie, wat Sue al vertelde, dat je kunt daar een pot ketchup op leeg gooien op je shirt. En je veegt het er zo af met een doekje en niets dringt in de vezels van het shirt. Dus dat is wel heel handig als je een beetje knoeit. It's an amazing technology.
Yes, it is. Don has his nanotechnology shirt on here.
As a scientist and as a staunch believer in the God of creation, how do you combine this?
Well, I love the song, How Great Thou Art. And I love this grand world, from the flowers to the animals, everything. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no conflict between having a deep faith and a belief in science and knowing science. When you look at the order, the balance, the cycles, and all the predictable forces, they just didn't happen. And the more that you know and observe science, the more you love God.
I can ask you a favor, both of you. You're both, well, you're a conductor, but you sing as well. And I've heard you singing here around the house. And would you please be so kind to sing a song that comes into your mind now?
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
You have to start it.
What, how'd the first one we go?
I come.
Okay.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. With me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
Wonderful.
We would not do that for anybody on earth but you.
And the Dutch.
Okay. You were present at our first kind of national event, singing together in the Peterskirk in Leiden. Did you enjoy it?
I loved it. For 1,000 people to sing one beautiful old hymns. I would have tears in my eyes when I would see 1,000 people singing from their heart beautiful hymns on a day they could have been doing something somewhere else on a nice day.
We saw some pictures of that great gathering, and if I may say something in the Dutch, Joris, dat was zeer inspirerend, dat eerste samen zingen, Songs of the Heart. Vandaar dat wij en met vreugde aankondigen dat er een tweede bijeenkomst zal zijn op zaterdag 18 september in de Walburgkerk, die prachtige kerk in het hart van Kampen. En iedereen is van harte uitgenodigd. Meer gegevens op www.hourofpower.nl. Don and Sue, we have to say goodbye, but we'll see you on Sundays in the Crystal Cathedral, so it's
Absolutely.
Not for long. So this is not something that we give our viewers, because we have many presents, but this is Mozart from the Singer Museum.
Oh,
and so,
thank you.
And you were
thank
talking
you,
about great images. Here you have someone to put your glasses on.
Oh,
and
thank
Don, this
you.
Is for you. This is, hopefully you recognize it. It's crystal.
Oh my goodness.
And it says, you are loved. The story of the prodigal, the return of the prodigal
son. The prodigal son.
This is Rembrandt.
Yes.
Image.
Oh, thank you, Jan. Thank you. Thank
okay.
You,
thank you, Jan.
Okay.
So much. Thank you.
Wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral, waar we hopen dat we nog vele malen zullen kunnen genieten van dirigent Don Nguyen met in het koor Sue Nguyen en het koor van de Crystal Cathedral. Maar voor nu het koor van de Vanguard University. En zij gaan voor u zingen dat we waarlijk kinderen van God zijn.
Robbie Schuller, de kleinzoon van dominee Schuller senior, komt binnenkort naar Nederland en u kunt erbij zijn. Hij verzorgt een bijzondere prekenserie over het thema U bent geliefd. Wij nodigen u uit om op vrijdag 17 en maandag 20 september één of meerdere dagdelen bij te wonen in de Rehobotkerk in Hilversum. Uw plaats kunt u reserveren via 035 538 0588 of via onze website.
Pokelela bali pele makaku babana.
Bonse aba mupokelela bali pele makaku babana.
Bonse aba mupokelela bali pele makaku babana.
Bonse aba mupokelela bali pele makaku babana.
Kubabana.
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 Akwalesa.
Kubabana.
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 Akwalesa.
Kubabana,
kubabana, kubabana, bakwalesa.
Kubabana,
kubabana, kubabana, bakwalesa.
Bonse aba mupokelela bali pele makaka kubabana.
Bonse aba mupokelela bali pele makaka kubabana.
Bonse aba mupokelela bali pele makaka kubabana.
Bonse aba mupokelela bali pele makaka.
We sing Kubabana,
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 Bakwalesa.
Oh, Kubabana,
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 Bakwalesa.
Muya ya ya,
Muya ya ya, Muya ya ya, Bakwalesa.
Oh, Muya ya ya,
Muya ya ya, Muya ya ya, Bakwalesa.
Oh, Kubana.
Hear these words from the Bible. The winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The time of the singing of the birds has come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The time of the singing of the birds has come. To the writer of Scripture, this is springtime. And I want you to know that the time of the birds of the singing has come, happens all the time. So many people say to me, well, I've never experienced God, I don't believe in Him. And I have to tell them, you believed in God. No, you've experienced Him. And they say, no, I haven't. I said, God is with you all the time. How many thoughts go through the average brain in a daytime? God only knows. Somebody said 10,000. I think that's a great underestimation. All the thoughts that come through your brain. Your brain. Yes, your brain. Where do they come from? You have no idea, nor do I, how many of those ideas God coming into your life, how you respond, that's another thing. Whether you react negatively or positively, that I don't know. But God is real. And He's real in your life so much of the time that we almost want to say, the Scriptures say God is with us always. Always. Yes, ideas that come into your brain that are positive, that are guiding, directing, uplifting. Think of them as birds coming into your arena of life. The time of the singing of the birds has come. That refers to the time when uplifting thoughts, moods, emotions, insights, interpretations enter into your consciousness. You may not call it God, but it is God Himself at work in you. Believe it. Receive it. Wow. Look, the time of the singing of the birds has come. Surely, for most of us, that was when we were young and little children, probably, with our dreams of what we wanted to be and what we wanted to accomplish, and the success we hoped we could live out. The time of those dreams, those moods, those hopes.
Time of the singing of the birds. Yeah. Hope.
That's it. And it happens not only in the morning of life, but in the noontide of life, when you probably have lived a few years. 50 is a very dangerous age. Dangerous because you probably had your dreams but didn't follow them. You got into other stuff. And now you're 50, and you suddenly are aware of the fact that from this point on, it's halfway down, not up. If you don't get at it now, you'll never make it. It'll never happen. And that can be very good, but it can also be dangerous. You need the guidance of the Almighty like never before. The time of the singing of the birds has come. It may be later in life when you are nearing the end and you know it. And there are things that you need to make right in your life. Apologies. You said, I'll never say I'm sorry, but you were wrong. And you know you have to say it. When you have to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. Time of the singing of the birds has come. There are times when a conflict needs to be resolved. And you're conscious of the fact that you have to do something. You don't want to, but you have to. The time of the singing of the birds has come. The winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in the land. Yes, the time of the singing of the birds has come. What does that mean to you today? I have no idea. Because I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know what memories you have held on to or what doors you slammed shut, never intending to go down the hall again. I don't know. But you will know. You're in church. God is here. He can work through your conscience. He can work through your memory system. He can work with strange moods that are moving into your life. Yes, the time of the singing of the birds has come. Wow. I was a young boy. I won't forget this. I lived in the country. We had what was called a party line. That's the telephone service. One telephone line went through the area, and people could connect to it. They would have their telephone. Not a private phone at all. Every phone connected to it could lift the receiver and listen to whoever was talking. And if the phone rang three times, that meant our telephone was ringing. We had to pick it up. We didn't hear the other telephone ringing for the other families. And I remember the time Mom picked up the phone. It rang three times, and she was hurt. She was shocked. I saw tears roll down her face. She said, "We have to go call on Liz. Johnny just died." Liz was a mother and the wife of the family a half a mile down the country road. Johnny was her 16-year-old boy. And we went there, called. I don't know what my mom said to her, but a day or two later, my mom said, "Liz is bad. She's not getting over it. Her husband says that all she does is sit there and think. We don't know what she's thinking about." And then Mom said, "I'll call again." And Mom called again, and that lifted her out of her apathy. My mother calling on her. What do you call that? I call that the time of the singing of the birds has come. Yes, now you know what I'm talking about. When you were down and out and you were depressed, you were finished, you thought. You didn't want to go on, you'd be happy if you went to heaven that night. Something happened. You're here in church. You came alive. You came out of it. Somewhere in those past hours or days or weeks, the birds came. In a thought, an idea, a friendship, or a simple change of mood that you can only say was God working in you. The time of the singing of the birds has come. Wow. I remember the time I had a near fatal accident. It was in Holland, a head injury, a blood clot in the brain, intensive surgery. I don't really know much about it, but I do remember my wife coming, standing at the bedside, and that drew me out of my semi-coma into an aliveness. And I remember the two of us, surprised. She said, "Look, Bob, look at the window. On the third floor of this hospital in Amsterdam, there was suddenly one sparrow fluttering its wings up and down, staying in the same position, not flying away, just staying there, staying there, staying there." To my wife and to me, it was a visit from God. The time of the singing of the birds has come. Wow. Our daughter Carol was 13 when she had her horrible accident, and they amputated her leg. She came back and would spend 7 months in the hospital in Orange. She nearly lost her life. At the time, there was a time when there was no pulse, no blood pressure. The motorcycle accident almost killed her instantly. The weeks and months of pain, and many surgeries followed. That was a tough year for Arvella and I. The amputation of her left leg, and she was our softball star. I'll never forget when she said to us, "They're signing up for softball again this weekend. I'm going to sign up, Dad. And I said, Carol, you can't sign up. You've only got one leg. She said, I've been checking it out. And the rules are that if you were an active player when the accident happened, they have to keep you on the team. Say it again. They have to keep you on the team. So I took her to sign up. She limped so badly. She got in the car. I put the keys in. Looked at her and said, Carol, how do you expect to play ball when you can't even run? She snapped back at me. She said, Dad, I got that all figured out. First thing I thought of was what you taught me. When you lose something, never look at what you have lost. Look at what you have left. I got both arms left. I'm going to build up my arms stronger than anybody else on the team. I'm going to become a home run hitter. And Dad, when you hit home runs, you don't have to run. That idea came into her brain, not from me, but from God. Yes. God is with you. And he will be with you forevermore. Amen. Now, Lord, the time of the singing of the birds has come. In the dark of the night, in the midst of a depression, when going through the tunnel of discouragement, new thoughts come. New moods move into our life. We change. We think positively again. It's the time of the coming of the birds. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
My raging seas, you are.
most. May the Lord keep you where you stand strong. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, to put the twinkle in your eye and a peaceful look over your face. Until you come to stand before the Lord forevermore. Amen.
Een indringende toespraak van dominee Schuller over het feit dat het leven, niet alleen de natuur, ook seizoenen kent en hoe je daarmee omgaat. Wij gaan afscheid nemen, maar hopelijk niet voor lang, want u kunt contact met ons houden, onder andere via onze website. Tik eens in www.gebedvandedag en u kunt een prachtig gebed lezen. Wij nodigen elkaar van harte uit, ik heb het al eerder gemeld, op ons samen zingen concert van Hour of Power in Kampen op 18 september. En speciale gast zal ze zijn, Melissa Venema. Ze maakt furoren als solotrompetiste bij André Rieu en toert over de hele wereld. Ze is heel erg jong en kan fantastisch spelen. Echt een muzikale verrassing. Heel fijn dat u gekeken heeft. Volgende week hopen we te spreken met Johan Smoorenburg, die zal vertellen hoe ons project Hart voor Kinderen verder is gegaan in Haïti. De eerste huizen worden nu gebouwd dankzij uw steun en daar leggen we graag verantwoording van af. Hele goede zondag toegewenst en graag tot de volgende keer.
Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Take and seal it. Seal it.